As we prepare for prayer and meditation, as I said, we were in a car accident last evening, and our car was somewhere, and you know, somebody brought us a lovely little rental, and so we're here. And I said to my 12-year-old son, I said, "You know, if we had just been a second difference," and he said, "Mom, the universe was taking care of us, because if we had been a second difference, we might have been hit by a semi truck." I thought, thank you, son. Thank you for reminding me of the perfect order of the universe. And so as we pray today, I encourage you to get comfortable and close your eyes. I want to share with you the 23rd Psalm. Love is my shepherd, I shall not want. It helps me to lie down in green pastures. It leads me beside the still waters. Love restores my soul. It leads me in the paths of righteousness for love's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for love is with me and comforts me. Love is with me in the presence of my enemies. Love eases my thoughts and fills my heart. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of love. I have been standing on the side of life, watching it float by. I want to swim in the river. I want to feel its current on my body. These words were taken from Martha Brothwick Cheney from the book Loving Frank. She was a woman born in the late 1800s, when women did not have the vote. In fact, they didn't really have much of a life. They were almost property of their husbands, dominated, directed, subjugated by them. But Martha was different. That could not work for her. She wanted to study. She wanted to travel. She wanted to be a professional. She wanted to be fully alive. She wanted to swim in the river. She wanted to feel its current. Unfortunately, she was about 75 years ahead of her time. And so she had a very hard time trying to have a whole self and not a half one. And then she met Frank Lloyd Wright, a Unitarian, and the story goes on from there. It's a brilliant little book. It's a fun book, Loving Frank, if you want to read it. But what I learned from it is to be fully alive, to swim in the river of life. We cannot do that unless we have love. Love in our heart and love in our life. You know, I've often thought that our religion, Unitarian Universalism, is a bit ahead of its time as well. It's a bit ahead of the learning curve. You ever have that feeling? Because we are the only religion that I know of on this earth that celebrates that there's a Christian sitting next to a Jew, sitting next to an atheist, sitting next to a pagan, sitting next to a Hindu. And we're all in the same room. And we're all worshiping together. And we're all saying, "I want to learn what you know. Can you teach me? I don't know any other faith that does that." That's a little ahead of our time. Is the world ready for our message? That every human being has inherent worth and dignity. Not some human beings, everyone. Martin Luther King spoke about it July 4th, 1965, in his sermon in Atlanta, when he spoke about his dream. Here are his words. "It wouldn't take us long to discover the substance of my dream. It is found in those majestic words of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by God, Creator, with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is a dream. It's a great dream. The first saying we notice in this dream is an amazing universalism. It doesn't say some men. It says all men. It doesn't say all white men. It says all men, which includes black men. It doesn't say all Gentiles. It says all men, which includes Jews. It doesn't say all Protestants. It says all men, which also includes Catholics. It doesn't even say all theists and all believers. It says all men, which includes humanists and agnostics. Thus ends the words of Martin Luther King. And we, as Unitarian Universalists, also know it means all women. And all atheists, and all gay people, and all straight people, all people. We know this and we hold that as a truth. That we have inalienable rights for all people. God bless America. No, God bless everyone. God bless the world. Is it time for our faith? I think that it is. I think we must get bigger and stronger and louder in order to heal the world. Our time is now to be fully alive, to swim in the river, and to be fully vocal as you use. I have an assistant that works for me, a wonderful, wonderful human being. She's 65 years old, and she would identify herself as a very strong Christian. So she's trying to figure me out as a UU. A few weeks ago, she said to me, okay, so what about the Jesus part that Jesus is the only way to heaven? You believe that, don't you? I said, well, I believe that there are many ways to say Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of when I moved to Germany 26 years ago. I was stunned to find out that they called their country Deutschland. I thought, why don't they call it Germany? Or why don't we call it Deutschland? And I thought, isn't that amazing that there are two different, very different words for the exact same place? And I began to think, maybe there are different words for God. Maybe there are words for Jesus that are different. And it could be Buddha, and it could be Krishna, and it could be Mohammed, and it could be Siddhartha, or it could be Gandhi. And my assistant just shook her head. And she said, what we have to say to people is a little ahead of the curve. After a few weeks, she said to me, okay, tell me this. How do you know you are loved by God? Because I don't really know. And I felt a sadness that her religion had failed her. She said, I pray to God, but he doesn't really answer my prayers. And I can't say that anywhere except here to you. I said, honey, come to my church. You can say all of that out loud, and there'll be people that say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've had that experience too. And there'll be other people with different points of view, but there is room for your point of view, your questions, and your doubts. And this week she told me the truth. She said, you know what? You scare me. I said, really? In what way do I scare you? She said, well, you know, I don't want to offend you. She stammered around and she said, I don't want to say anything mean to you. And I don't want to, you know, call you a name. And I don't want to lose my job. She said, but some people may just call you a liberal. I said, yes, in fact, that's okay. I call myself a liberal. In fact, if liberal means that I get to speak my truth out loud, that liberal means everyone has inherent worth and dignity, yes, I'm a liberal. That everyone's lovable, yes, I'm a liberal. And she said, that's what I mean. You scare me. What we have to say is scary to some people, And I got to thinking, how come? Why is that? It's so obvious to me. And I think part of the answer is in David Hawkins' work. You should have a handout in your order of service. Do you have one? David Hawkins is the author of the book Power vs. Force. And, of course, advocates us to get to our personal power and not having to use force. Now, I will admit to you that the book is a bit over my head. He is an MD and also a PhD in quantum physics, and the book is written in quantum physics terms, and yet I still learn some things. So I will share with you what I glean from his work, and mostly I love this developmental scale that he has. And it's really a scale about waking up, because most of us live our lives asleep. And this is a scale about waking up more and more and more. And he puts it in quantum physics terms of an energy vibration. And the more awake we get, the higher our energy vibration. David Hawkins believes that 85% of the world, which is an amazing statistic, is below 200. Stuck in shame, guilt, apathy, grief, fear, desire, anger, and pride. David Hawkins writes, pride has enough energy to run the U.S. Marine Corps. This rise in self-esteem is a balm to all the pain experienced at the lower levels of consciousness. Man has habitually died for pride. Now, the downside of pride is arrogance and denial. These characteristics actually block our growth. In pride, recovery from addiction is impossible, because emotional problems or character defects are just simply denied. Pride is still about force, and it is a block to the acquisition of our authentic power. So vibration level 200, getting awake, courage, is the first positive energy vibration that we get to. The courage to look at, why are we carrying around shame from our history? Where does that come from? What are we afraid of? What is my assistant afraid of? If I speak my truth out loud and it's different than hers, creates fear below 200. I tend to believe that Unitarian Universalists is a religion beyond 200, though we certainly get trapped sometimes back into the pride part. 250 is a level of neutrality. Before we get to neutrality, we tend to see life as black and white. Right and wrong. We're right, they're wrong. You're wrong, I'm right. Black and whites. So at 250, we realize there are lots of right answers. There are lots of truths. There are lots of good books that we can grow from. Not just the Bible or the Quran or the Torah, but there are lots of them out there. Life is seen as up and down, and that it's all good. Even car accidents, it's all good. We don't have any need to try to control what other people think or feel. And likewise, we don't like to be controlled. Then we get to level 310, a willingness. We have a willingness to overcome our inner resistance to life and our participation in it. That we get into the river at 310 and we start participating. And we start doing acts of social awareness and justice, and we get in it. We let go of pride, we don't have to be judgmental of other people's defects, and we learn from others. 350 is acceptance. There's an acceptance that we also have a complete responsibility for all of our choices, every single one, which if we're going to choose the fear or if we're going to choose the growth choice, if we're going to choose the negative or if we're going to choose the love choice, we're in charge of that. Before this level, we seem to think that other people outside of us, an external locus of control, controls us. At 350, we really get that, oh no, I'm in charge. I'm the one responsible for all those. I'm really not a victim. I can't blame anybody. I got to take it on myself. If I'm not happy, I need to be doing something about it. And then comes level 400. This is about the place where I think Unitarian Universalism sometimes gets stuck. Reason. Education is at a premium. Knowledge is at a premium. Intelligence and rationality is at the forefront. David Hawkins says, "Reason does not of itself provide a guide to truth. Reason itself, paradoxically, is the major block to reaching the highest levels of consciousness. Transcending this level is relatively uncommon in our society. We got to get from 499, from our head, to 500, to our heart, which is love. This is a gateway to all the good, good, good stuff, the highest levels of being awake. Love is the development of a love inside of us that walks with us always. It's unconditional, it's unchanging, it's permanent. Loving is a state of being. It's how we are in the world with whoever comes into our sphere, whatever happens. We are not working from our rationality. We have that piece, but we're also working from the heart level. All viable religions, including Unitarian Universalism, calibrate at 500 or above, and yet less than 1% of the world's population gets there." He goes on to describe 540 joy, and that sometimes we have that experience, that high level of joy with children, a baby, you're holding them, going to a concert, and you feel that energy, that joy energy, near-death experience sometimes create that for people. They get out of it, and they're no longer worried about whatever those problems were because they're just glad to be alive, happy. 600 is peace, where we recognize we are connected with everything, the interconnectedness of all of us with that bird, with the candles, with everybody here. We're all interconnected. Great works of art and music and architecture can get us to that level sometimes. It's inspirational. And then level 700 to 1000 is enlightenment. Jesus Christ, Buddha, Gandhi, Krishna, Mother Teresa, these are the people that have reach that highest level of understanding. So, I see us at 499 on the cusp of 500. So we're a little bit ahead of the curve as far as awakening, allowing ourselves to have our reasoning, allowing ourselves to not just say that fairy tale that they're teaching is true. We can't buy into that. But I also think we're a little behind as Unitarian Universalists. Why? Because we're stuck at that 499, and we need to make that leap over to 500, the love energy vibration. Large Christian churches do that. In fact, your junior high, your middle school kids are at a large evangelical church right now as we speak. My 12-year-old is with them. I can't wait to hear what he says about it. But they get the whole church going. Have you ever been in a black church, a large black church where they have 1,000 people in their choir and they're singing Amazing Grace? It's amazing. You can feel that energy just hold you. It's so alive right there. It's so exciting. What about a tent revival? Ever been to one of those where they're saying hallelujah, praise God, amen, and people are shouting and yelling, and you get that energy, vibration that's so high? We can also get it drumming with 1,000 drummers. We can also get it at a rock concert, that high level of vibration, energy vibration, the love vibration. Christian churches get people there. They tell a story. It's a made-up story, I think. Kind of a fairy tale, but it works. You walk into a large Christian church, you get a dad that loves you, no matter what. No matter what you do, you're loved. That's pretty amazing. It's pretty good stuff. There's only one problem with it. We can't believe it. We can't believe that story as literal truth because we have our brains engaged, and so we get stuck. The other problem with that high level of emotional love energy is it's only temporary. The problem is that when people get that love energy in these large Christian churches, they walk outside of that Christian church, and it's not there in their behavior. That's why we go to war. That's why we can bomb Iraq. That's why we have war machines and violence on TV and violence in the movies, because it's not sustainable. Because most people are really at level 200 or below. And so I think we, as Unitarian Universalists, need to make that leap to 500 and lead the way. Because being below it is not good enough for me. I hope it's not good enough for you. I want to swim in the river, and I want you to swim in the river too. The river of life, fully alive, and experiencing that higher love vibration. Translating it, every minute of your life, every day, I want you to walk in that love vibration. I tell my children, may you always, always, always be in that love vibration. Offer it, receive it. But how do we get there? We've been trying. We've been thinking about it. We've been thinking, how do we get there? And I think the answer is very, very simple. Salvation is indeed possible even for us who scare people by saying out loud what we really think, what we really believe. I think it's possible for us. Even when we look at it purely scientifically, from a physiological or quantum physics perspective, it doesn't matter. This is what we need to do. And this is what we need to remember, that always the energy of a loving thought trumps negativity. Always. So all we have to do is learn how to choose loving thoughts over and over and over again. Hell, therefore, is not a condition imposed by some judgmental God, but rather the inevitable consequence of our own decisions. Hell is the final outcome of constantly choosing negatives over positives over and over and over again. I drove my neighbor on an errand the other day. Her car was in the shop, ironically, next to mine now. And the neighbor got in my car and she started complaining. She started telling me how her husband didn't do this and her mother-in-law called her this and she didn't do that. And I thought, I'm in this little space with her. I imagined my Batman shield coming down, protecting me. It's like, whoa, I do not want that to glop on me. And how can I keep myself out of it? And that's what we have to do. We have to put down our Batman shields to people like that. We have to block them off. I said to her, thinking quickly, you know what? I have a new CD I'd like to listen to. And it's called The Secrets of a Millionaire Mind, and in which he talks about the higher levels of vibration. And I reached over and I put it in. Now, I don't know what she got out of it, but she did shut up. And I was grateful because I do not want that stuff to glop on me. And I encourage you to not let that stuff glop on you either. That you say no to people that are blah, 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 gossiping, telling you all their problems, all their junk, kind of vomiting on you. You have to say, no, I don't want that in my life. Thank you very much. I'm coming from a different place. And I want to share that love vibration with you. So this sermon is somewhat about morality, not the petty moralistic judgments that we make, that other people make, that we make sometimes, but it's to inspire us each to choose over and over and over again the highest conduct for your life, over and over and over again, each intersection of the day, the highest conduct that I can do. The cleanest I can be, over and over again. There's a simple test that we need to integrate into our thinking. And here it is. Here's the test. Is it good for me? Is it good for the world? And if the answers are not yes to that, don't do it. Is it good for me? Is it good for the world? Is it good for my family? If the answer is not yes, the answer is no. I'm not going to participate. surrounding ourselves with negative. We have to say no to violent TV. We have to say no to violent movies. We have to say no to filling our brains with stuff that is not good for us. Junk food in, junk food out. I mean, it's just not good for us. Is it good for me? Is it good for the world? There lies our question. We as UUs are at a high enough level of awakening to know that we are accountable for our choices, all of them. So choose, actively choose all day long to increase your level of awakening, to increase your level of getting to that level of love, that 500. Because the reality is, as I choose love, as I choose non-judgment, as I choose to love and accept you and share that energy vibration with you, your level increases too. So what you can do, the best thing that you can do individually to heal the world is heal yourself. Work on increasing your own energy vibration. It will heal you. It will heal your family. It will heal all those you come in touch with. And eventually, it'll heal the world. So we've got to keep working every intersection, choosing love, choosing is it good for me, choosing honesty, is it good for the world. And then we will swim in the river and we will feel its current. I wish that for you. Amen. Blessed be.